Thank you.
Terry Davis now joins.
Welcome, Terry. Stefan here.
Good afternoon, I guess, there.
Yeah. What time is it for you?
It's 9:30 in the morning.
Okay, nice and early. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll start in about 2 minutes. We're just waiting for some people, more people to arrive, and we'll start in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Bonjour, Stefan.
Salut, Rafik, ça va?
Ça va très bien.
Bon, t'as entendu ce que je disais ou...
Oui, ouais. Ça commence dans 10 minutes.
Voilà.
Ok.
Ça
va. Il faut imposer un peu de discipline. Hein.
Bah, je vais essayer. Hein. Il est quelle heure chez toi?
C'est 2h30 du mat.
6h30 du mat?
Vision normale. Vision normale dorme à cette heure-là.
Bon, bah c'est bien. Bah, merci d'être avec nous et on va commencer rapidement.
Ok. Stéphane, il y a Adobe Connect ou
Hello, this is the operator.
Hello.
Hello. Can you just let me know when you want the recording to start?
Yes, I will.
Usually Glenn would let me know when to start the recording. Thank you.
Okay. Right, we'll start. Operator, can you begin the recording, please, and let us know when that's done?
One moment, please. This call is now being recorded.
Thanks very much. Welcome, everybody, to our council wrap-up meeting. Welcome to the new councillors, John, Jeff, looking around the room. I see old people, but Carlos, where is he?
There he is.
Oh, hi, Carlos. Welcome to you all. The agenda for this council meeting is in front of you and on the wiki, so you can see what we're going to talk about. Traditionally, we have these meetings to look at what's happened over the past week and see what we want to, what issues we want to look at going forward. Now, we will also discuss this being the last meeting of the year. We will also discuss some administrative matters, such as meeting times going forward and so on. So let's start with item one. Glenn, can you do a roll call, please?
Certainly, Stefan. Let me see. Tim Roos? Adrian Kinderis? Edmund Chan?
Edmund's here.
Yes, Edmund's here. Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yep.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yep.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
John Brera?
Yes.
Mary Wong? David Taylor? Mike Rodenbach? Andrei Kolesnikov, and absent is Olga. Christina will be coming late. And have I missed off anybody?
Chuck
will be coming late.
This is Terry. I'm on the phone.
And Terry, thank you. And we have Rafik on the phone as well.
And Alan is here.
Yes.
And Debbie Hughes.
And Alan.
And Alan Greenberg and Han Chuan Lee.
Here's Christina.
And here's Christina,
and Chuck's coming.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Any comments? Anyone want to review any items on the agenda? Hearing no one, let's move on to item two and the our decision-making process. We had discussions about this during our weekend sessions on how to best take this forward. There was a suggestion that a group of us get together and continue informal discussions on some of the items that we looked at during the weekend session. So does anyone want to add anything further to what we talked about? Yeah, Jamie's eating, but as soon as he's done with that mouthful, he's on the mic. Anyone else?
I just would like to report conversation we had in the ISPCP constituency meeting with Lisa, and we voiced out both, and I'm talking for myself, some sort of disappointment with the work, the non-decision making we are doing. And I would like to reinforce something that I said in the meeting, our meeting here, our closed meeting, that we must, and I, since we have now new leadership on board, I would urge the leadership to take decisions on what should be put on hold or discontinued, and we must make these decisions very fast.
Thanks, Jamie. Can I just respond? I'm sure that the leaders are probably willing to do that, but I still have a question on whether the council would be willing to accept that, because that is asking the council leaders to take some kind of an executive decision on certain projects. I think I agree with your view that this is a personal view. I agree with your view that that is needed, as I stated during the weekend sessions. But it is something that we need to look at. We need to look at how we can put that into practice. Tim, and then Edmund.
No, that was pretty much my comment. I just felt that we could better utilize our weekend working sessions. Well, I don't admit that's probably the bad way to put it. I think that they're utilized well, but I think we need to add to that an opportunity for the council itself, whether it's open or not, that doesn't concern me one way or the other, but for the council itself to consider and discuss some of its work. So some of the things that we do at the open meeting, we can do and resolve before we get there. I think that's a better place for it.
Yeah, I think I'll add you, Wendy. That's actually something that I wanted to discuss further down the agenda, but it's certainly something that I think we all need to discuss today. I think we all felt yesterday during the open council meeting that we would be best served and we would make better use of our time if some of those conversations that were going on we could have had before. And perhaps we could do that, I agree, during the weekend sessions. I mean, that seems the ideal time to do it, because it's the only, you know, we see each other three times a year. It's not something that's easy to do either by email or by phone, but it is something that we could do quite easily when we're all in the room together. So I'd like, with your permission, to look at the way we organize the weekend sessions going forward for San Francisco, and perhaps put aside more time for straight council conversation. I'm a bit lost on the queue. I've got Edmund, Wendy, Jeff, Olga, Debbie, Jamie.
Yeah, I guess on that, conceptually it's probably good to do that. We have a logistical issue as well, which is that the constituency and the stakeholder group meetings are on Tuesday. And, you know, unless we make a huge change and, you know, swap everything around, it might not be as fruitful as we hoped it to be. That's, I guess, just the my comment.
Just the opposite.
Is it?
It's really just the opposite, because many of the discussions we had during council last night, they stalemated because we couldn't go back to our constituencies, our stakeholder groups, and clear things. So if we had those discussions over the weekend, like, for example, the splitting of the RAA amendment or motion, if we'd known about that specifically before, we could have discussed that in our stakeholder group meeting. I think we could have had a much better outcome. So it might be go both ways, but I think there's a real advantage in it.
Wendy.
Stefan, actually, can I just intervene with point of order? Just for the record, I had reached out to Mary, Jeff, and Mason on Tuesday to indicate that I had gotten IPC support to split the motion. So I realize that there may not have been time to add that into the stakeholder group agendas, but there was as much notice as I was able to give in light of the timing of Constituency Day.
That's just a comment, Christine. It's not a point of order, is it? Wendy.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd like to, in the spirit of those suggestions, I think we might want to consider something even like the board's workshops before meetings, where one of the sessions is a session of discussion about the items that we have on our agenda, discussion of the places that we have commonalities and differences. If there's a way to schedule it that's sort of even before the drafting of motions and discussion with to include constituencies in the discussion of viewpoints, because I think that would be helpful, because at the moment we have sort of the summary of the issue from staff at one point and the voting on the motion at a second point, and we often don't have the intermediate, where do we and our stakeholder groups support on those motions.
Thanks. Jeff.
Thanks. I agree with Wendy on kind of the notion of a workshop, and in fact, you know, I know this will be an unpopular suggestion because we all like our social time, but maybe the GNSO council dinner could actually be a working dinner, sorry to suggest that, where actually substantive topics can be discussed. I think one of the other issues that, and Tim had brought it up on email even before we got here, is the whole notion that because of this 8-day deadline, all of a sudden motions just come out of nowhere, right? Motions that maybe groups had thought about. It would really help if there would be some way, and maybe this is a vice chair to vice chair or other manner, that it would be helpful to know what's coming down the pipe so that we can discuss these things, and not even the exact wording of what the motion is, but just the concept behind what will probably be in a motion. It shouldn't really come as a surprise, and certainly not as people are getting on airplanes coming out here. And lastly, I do want to stick up for Christina, because, yes, she did send out a note that did say exactly what was written. It's just hard during a meeting to read. You know, the words matter, and especially to a lot of people who are lawyers and even not lawyers. Every word has a meaning, and it's hard while a meeting's going on to read a really long motion like that. But yeah, Christina did send around something the day before, and I know my questions kind of sounded like I was dumb, but, you know, when I said, you know, what is this? And one other thing we should consider is how to write motions and maybe getting together with staff to figure out the best way, the least complicated way, so that they're easily understood by anybody.
Thanks, Jeff. I've got Olga, Debbie, Jamie, Adrian, Mike, and Christina. I'd like to cut the list short at that point, please, because we've already spent quite a lot of time on this. Olga.
Thank you, Stefan. The feeling I had yesterday is that we needed more informal dialogue before the council, the open council meeting. What happened during the coffee break is that people were finding a wording that were comfortable for everyone, should have been done before. And maybe we could have done that during the weekend, and perhaps it's a mission of chair and vice chair with the interest people promoting the text. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Debbie.
And quickly, all I wanted to add was to piggyback off what Tim and Wendy had suggested. I would think it would make a lot of sense for the staff to do the presentation and then for us to have the substantive conversation. So in the interest of time, that's all I'll say. But I think from an organizational standpoint, it would make sense for us to hear the staff update, then have the debate about the issues, and then we would have the information we would need to take back to our groups.
Thank you. Jamie?
First, I would like to come back to the point I was making. I think to step down a project is a difficult decision, and this kind of decision should be submitted to the council. It is to be taken by the council, but it is to be brought here by the leadership. And I think the first thing in our informal meetings should be this kind of approach to evaluate which work is could be stepped down in order to avoid the complaints of staff and everything. Well, on the second point, I would like to point out that deadlines are the main source of inspiration of humankind. So we should it's not, if it's informal, it doesn't work. I mean, we should bring the motions to be discussed in our first meeting as if it were the one to decide. Then I think things should could work much better, because as I will present an example. The best wording was for Mary's motion was achieved in the third friendly amendment you made to yourself? Yeah?
No, it's very friendly.
Yeah, okay. So if we had this kind of rush in the first meeting, then we would achieve much, much more.
Thanks, Jamie. Just to clarify, the first point you're making, you would like the council leaders to suggest to council items or projects that we would consider less important. Is that correct?
A proposal to suspend or even to stop, definitely.
Is that not made through a motion?
Yeah, it could be, but I think it should be a leadership initiative.
Okay, thanks. Adrian?
Two things. So, number one, this notion of discussing motions, that rhymes. We have meetings all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Perhaps the period should be 8 days before that, and allow those meetings when we spend two solid days together to allow some, you know, backroom exchanges and even some of that, some formal time to discuss those motions, rather than having the date set for the actual meeting itself. And then if you agree with that knowledge and you say, okay, well, we're going to work through that and lock down our decisions before, and some folks said, you know, there's a dinner where we're going to go and talk about these, you know, have a working dinner and whatever else, comes back to my sort of point that I brought up at the meeting, which is, what is the purpose of the open mic then? If we've already locked in a decision beforehand, like the board do, and all I do, the board come out and they've already decided what they're doing on the Thursday night and walk out and read through the motion and it's all, you know, just formality. If we do that, that's fine. I got no problem with that. And it would look a lot cleaner, certainly, than having, you know, open arguments the way we did and having the community frustrated at us. We just need to then maybe look at what the purpose of the meeting is.
Yeah, thanks. I don't think what you just said, I think we should discuss that just for 5 seconds. I'm personally in full agreement with what you're saying, and I think we would be very well advised to look at a format whereby we would be functioning more like the board in that respect, i.e. we thrash out the issues beforehand and we basically know more or less, I mean there can always be last minute surprises, but we basically know more or less what's going to happen when we come to the open meeting. The open mic is a good thing, but perhaps not during our deliberations on motions. I'm in full agreement with you on that. I don't know what the rest of the council thinks. Perhaps we can take that discussion offline. But
if you do have the conversations on the Saturday and Sunday, we allow open mic then, and that's where folks can do it. Think about the way the board works. They have open a public forum today to take into their deliberations tonight. That's how they get their input at the last minute. You know, clearly they get input leading up to that. So why not set ourselves up in the same way, such that if anyone wants to talk to us about the motions or anything else at that time, they can do it on the Saturday and Sunday. We could do our Sunday night dinner where we come in and we try to pull it all together. And I agree with having work. I don't agree with organising another time to catch up. I think our bandwidth here is already fairly well chock-a-block. That's an Australian saying. Yeah, so use the time here that we can get community input here on the Saturdays and Sundays, tighten it up, move on.
Thanks, Mike.
I was going to make a very similar suggestion about extending the time before the motion deadline for our public meetings, because, you know, I think it's obvious to everybody, unanimous, that we need to be better prepared in those meetings and not look so disorganized at times. I was thinking more like 20 days for a public meeting, though, so that, because, you know, it's been a common complaint of our constituency, particularly the organizational members in our constituency, that we really never have enough time to get the full input that we ought to be able to get. So I don't necessarily believe there ought to be a great distinction between our teleconference meetings and our public meetings, but in reality there is. You know, we do have some semblance of an audience at these meetings. So I think that's important. The other thing that I was going to suggest is that you do a lot more by email, even voting. You know, do more email ballots, like things like commissioning or approving charters. There's no reason why somebody needs to read that out in and then take an up or down vote, voice vote. I mean, that could have been done weeks ago, and therefore not delayed the working group till the next meeting, number one, and not wasted a lot of time in our public meetings, number two.
Thanks, Mike. I'm actually also wondering whether we need to read out the motions. I mean, this comes from yesterday. I actually thought that was extremely necessary before, because it goes into the transcript and people can read the motion there. But I mean, they can read it on the wiki as well, and it takes up so much time. You can see people nod off while we're doing it. So I'm just wondering, that's another question which I think we ought to look at. Christina.
A few things. I agree that perhaps for the public meetings we need to set the motion deadline earlier. I think 20 days, frankly, is going to be a hard sell to some folks. I think 14 would be fine. I think we do have to recognize that here for this particular meeting, we had an unusual set of circumstances, at least with regard to my constituency, namely that we had a very important public comment deadline tomorrow. So, you know, for a lot of folks, getting comments put together and vetted both on an individual organizational level and as the constituency took up a lot of bandwidth that we would have otherwise been able to spend discussing, you know, the motions at issue. I do think that we could try and integrate some more of the kind of public forum section of our meeting into the Saturday and Sunday work. However, I think we also need to recognize that it's not always going to be possible for all members of the community to be here by Saturday morning, and that in many cases the ability to do so is going to be affected by the location of the meeting. If it's a meeting that takes 20 hours to get to, I think we need to recognize that most people are going to have to take multiple flights. There's going to be a lot of travel time. I think what we may have to do is still have the public forum portion of our meeting on Wednesday, but perhaps limit participation in that to those people who were physically not here on the weekend and unable to otherwise participate. And finally, I think we also just need to recognize that we can make our very best efforts to get everything nailed down as far ahead as possible, but that there will always be issues, and particularly the difficult ones, that I think it has in the past taken until literally right before the meeting, even though people have been discussing them very seriously and very substantively throughout. But it has taken until right before our public meeting to come up with a negotiated resolution. And I think we just need to be realistic about, you know, there will always be that those one or two situations where no matter what we do ahead of time, it's still going to happen. And I think to not take that into account, I think we're being overly hard on ourselves, frankly.
Thanks, Tim.
I guess I don't have too much more to say because everybody's pretty much said it. But I do agree with Christina. Meant to imply that we'd never do that at a meeting. I think it's probably unavoidable to some extent. I think we could probably reduce it considerably. And just in regards to the number of days, 14 days, 20 days, both those sound good to me. 8 is just problematic because it by nature includes 2 days where it's difficult to get a hold of anybody because in one place or another there's going to be 2 of those days that are weekend. And like it or not, people take time off. They don't look at their email, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day like some of us might. Thanks.
Chuck, why were you giggling at that? That wasn't aimed at you.
Oh, no, I didn't think it was aimed at me. I, of course, was doing email in the hospital.
Sorry. Wendy, yeah.
Oh, sorry, is that the indication that I'm up next? Yes, thank you. Acknowledging that we want people to be able to speak and general public input in our meetings and that constituencies are often directing their councillors, so it's not useful for that public input to come on the day of the meeting. perhaps we can separate the functions and have space for public discussion of items that will be on the agenda of upcoming meetings so that we can get early public input into those items that are on future council agendas rather than comments directed specifically at things on which we come out and tell people they won't have any impact. I don't think that using Saturday and Sunday is a good substitute because the meeting doesn't even officially start until Monday. So if we're looking for community input, that's another reason that's less likely to be successful.
Thanks. Mary.
I want to agree with Christina, and I think following up on Wendy's point, that the Saturday and Sunday sessions, I agree, could be better utilized. And I agree that we do need to figure out a way to run all our meetings during this week more efficiently while gathering as much community input as possible. On the Saturday and Sunday point, there are issues with travel schedules, there's issues with time off, there's issues with costs for a lot of participants. So one suggestion I wanted to make is because a lot of us really find it hard with all the various constituents to focus on certain issues, maybe not all, until constituency day, if there's a way to harness some of these suggestions such that what we talk about on constituency day, a lot of which sounds to me with the other SGs is also about the votes, can be streamlined and harnessed into a public forum, which we then take into the council meeting. It might be a timing issue.
Thanks. Margie?
On the timing issue, I just wanted to remind you guys that we have from staff perspective, we have a deadline for document production, and you don't want your period for motions, or you may not want your period to be before the date that the documents get published prior to the public meeting, you know, because all those documents may impact the motions that you're going to consider at the meeting. So I just wanted to clarify. You might want to think about that.
Thanks. Right. Well, as a you know, considering what next steps we do here, may I suggest that the council leaders take on board all the very good suggestions that we've had, perhaps thrash them out, come back with a short list to you guys, and take it on the list to see what we want to implement and what we don't. Adrian?
This might be unpopular, but I think you've heard our opinions now. I think you had it. You know, I don't know you need to suggest it to the list or whatever else. Take us on a journey and show us what the next meeting's going to be like.
Everyone okay with that? You asked for it. In the interest of time, Glenn's telling me, I mean, this meeting was scheduled for an hour and a half, but Glenn's telling me that people might want to stop in half an hour to get to the public forum. If that's the case, then I will skip through some agenda items with your permission. Role of the council is one that I'd like to skip through because we have some questions there that arose from the weekend session. They're on the agenda. We can look at them and discuss them on the list. The new GNSO website, I don't think we need to discuss much. I'd just like to get an idea from staff on... I'd like to get an idea from you guys on any comments that you think would prevent the website as presented from being put online. I mean, are there any big stumbling blocks that you see there that would mean that we don't?
Just the opposite. I thought it was brilliant. And I thought the way they presented it was really good and concise, and they did a good job. I don't know the gentleman's name that did that, but I thought that whole thing was good. So, yeah, other way.
Thanks. So, yeah, Jamie.
I just want to stress once again the need for appointing responsibles from each constituency to the website maintenance group.
Yeah, thanks. But that's not something that will stop the website from being put online. I mean, all the tweaking comments we can make once the website is on, right, Jamie? Correct? Yeah. So I just need an idea from staff on when that website will be launched, and then we can take it from there. Next, one thing that I would like to spend just a few minutes on is the meeting format. We've talked a lot about our impressions on the format from this meeting, so perhaps we can skip that. But we do need to look at a few questions that we need to look at for the next meeting. Just two things that I'd like to stop on for just a second. First of all, I'd like to ask you if you all feel that the informal council dinner is a good idea, and we've just heard one suggestion that perhaps from Jeff that it should be a working dinner, so that's something new. Any thoughts on that? Mary?
As I'm chewing my food, I apologize. I understand impetus for Jeff's suggestion. I think the problem is that we will always have new counselors coming on board and people getting to grips with things. So I actually think that not having it as a working dinner but having it as more of an informal session works a lot better.
Thank you. Christina?
I agree with Mary, but for a slightly different reason, and that is by the time of the day that we actually have these dinners, we've already been working for 8 to 10 hours. And, you know, I can't obviously speak for anyone else, but at a certain point, you know, I need to just take a break. And I think because of that, we may not have the level of productivity coming out of those dinners that we would expect to have if we make them working.
Thanks. Jamie?
It's just to subscribe to Mary's position against Jeff's motion.
Thanks. Jeff?
Well, as someone who sat at a table of only ICANN policy staff, who I love, it wasn't really much of a social event with other counselors, but it was fun. I want to stress that. I totally understand that it was at the end of a long day, and perhaps a working session could be at a different time. I just didn't, as much as I like all of you and I like going to dinner, I just didn't get really anything out of it or no need for a separate GNSO Council dinner, especially the night after the GNSO Council/board dinner. I don't think we need that many pre-scheduled dinners. I think a lot of us have other things that we want to do or other people that we like to connect with. And I like to hang out with Adrian alone, just the two of us.
I'm in violent disagreement with what you've just said. I think the council dinner, which we've introduced recently, is a very good social event. You don't have to come. You don't have to have friends. You know, you can sit by yourself. I know you weren't sitting by yourself, but some people didn't come, and that's fine, you know. But I think we should have that avenue there for informal discussions. And I do violently agree with what was said, I don't know who by. I think it was you, Adrian. We already work so hard. Was it you? No, it wasn't you. Okay. we already work so hard and so long. I think we often push ourselves too hard, and we just task ourselves too heavily. So I think we want to keep that in mind. Alan?
I support the social event, and some people shouldn't come late, then they wouldn't be alone at the table.
That was policy staff's fault. They took me out for a couple drinks.
In any case, the only practical way to have a working meeting is in a room like this with microphones, and I think the last thing we want on our social event is to have yet another catered event in the place that we're holding all the meetings. So.
Thanks, Alan. I think if anyone else has, I mean, I think we've all agreed that we're not going to go with Jeff's suggestion, so, if there's different comments, please make them. Wolf?
Thanks. No different comment. The only I missed was Adrian this evening, because I remember very well when I joined the council last year, he moderated this evening in a very, very brilliant way. So just to introduce new councillors to each other, and that's what I was missing. Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks. John?
I may feel differently in a year, but I, as the new guy, I really appreciated the opportunity to get together. And I don't want to just... I want to thank Jeff because of his advice about the meeting the day before, about not being asked questions that then a board member asks you a question, you respond, all of a sudden it's some constituency's policy. It wasn't 10 seconds at the dinner when Bertrand asked me what I might think of his new rights protection mechanism that he was going to propose. And I said, you know, I think there are some IPC people here. You should talk to them about that. So thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, John. Mary.
Two quick points. I think actually even at those dinners, I like having the policy staff there because getting to know them is part of the joy and also part of our work. Secondly, to add to the earlier point, I think it's not just new counselors. I mean, there are cultural issues. Then some people will feel much more comfortable speaking in a room like this into a microphone if they actually felt they knew the people they were speaking with.
Very good point. Adrian.
Thanks, Wolf. A lot of respect. So, first of all, I think any time we get to, you know, even these sessions are good to, especially at this time of the week, we're all ready to wind down a little bit. But there's no reason why we can't have those discussions. If there are motions, if we pull that deadline back, I think you'll find any time we get to hang out together, even if it is in a social environment, the conversation will naturally go to those motions that are out there. If we know that we've got to, you know, sort of get them locked down, and do so before the meeting, I think you'll see that, you know, in that environment, the conversation will naturally go that way. So I don't know that you necessarily need to call it a formal event. My second point is that somebody said that the meeting, I think it was Wendy, said that the meeting doesn't start till Monday officially. That's a legacy thing, that they hold the opening ceremony. As far as I'm concerned, the meetings now start on Saturday. And we have a board dinner on Saturday night, or Sunday, depending on what happens, and you want to be there for that. So, you know, in my mind, I always try to be here for Saturday, and I start my meeting on Saturday. I don't start on Monday, even though that's when the opening ceremony is, whatever it is. So I think we've got to get our heads around that and be prepared to put in from day dot.
Andre.
Yeah, there are a few things at the social events, whatever it's called, is that there are no mics, no records, and there are some words which really help to keep the discussion going and to solve some problems which are really hard to resolve at the public meetings.
And there's alcohol, too.
Yeah, and also, yeah, of course.
And there's alcohol.
Wendy.
Yeah, just to briefly respond to Adrian, I wasn't referring to counselors but to members of the general public, many of whom don't arrive until Monday. Members of the ALAC aren't permitted to, by their travel budgets, to arrive until Monday, and others that we might want giving input. For council, I agree that the meetings start when our meetings begin, and we're in work mode then.
Point taken. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. So I think we're agreed that we'll keep that going. And what about just any comments on the board, the formal board session? I mean, that was this meeting was the first time that we've done that, split the two. I thought it went well. The board session was a bit constrained, but the formal one. But that's possibly because it was a new thing. But I think having that opportunity of having a totally casual discussion during the board dinner, with no agenda items, no, you know, just a little song and dance to start with, and then we just get into it, and having a formal session on the Sunday, well, what do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the formal session worked real well. I think they were very receptive to hear what we had to say. I think there's some good action items that came out of it. You know, even if I remember the point about having staff and being more responsive to us on some of our working groups, I think is an excellent outcome and one that I know they're going to follow up on. And I think all of the other councils of each of the other supporting organizations have similar type meetings, and so I would recommend that we continue that practice.
Thanks, Jeff. Can I just say, Terry, Rafiq, I know that it may be hard for you to step into this discussion, so please just, you know, speak out if you do want to, because I'm not using the Adobe Connect. I may not see you raise your hand. Adrian. Oh, no, sorry. Mary.
I agree with keeping the formal meeting of the board. I thought that was a good idea, and I think the community welcomes that as well. I do agree that it was constrained, and I think part of the reason might have been either format or setup, but personally I think I would have found it even more helpful if I knew what the board was trying to do. It's not just, to me, I don't think it's enough to have a list of topics, but if board members are going to come in with a set of questions, I'd like to know that. If board members were going to come in to ask for our views on things, I think it would be much more helpful and make for a more lively discussion.
Thanks. I'll tell you one thing that we tried in the registrar stakeholder group day, which worked very well, was to just, and it was an idea that Adrian had, we decided that when they came in, we just, each of us would not use our laptops, we just close them. And, you know, so we were in full attention mode, and I think that helped. It may not be something that's viable for you guys to do for an hour, but maybe it's something that we could do. Hang on, Adrian, I've got a cue. Well, I've got a cue. I'll come back to you. Can you hold one thought for, yeah. Bill.
I don't want Adrian to explode. Yeah. Is your head going to, like scanners or something? You okay? I found it a curiously dull meeting. I mean, maybe I'm alone. I don't know. I mean, Mary thought that it was a little constrained. You said a little constrained. I thought it was dull. I thought the dynamic in the room.
I was being polite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the usual dynamic. Okay. Ms. Moderation, Mr. Immoderation. It just didn't seem like it was going anywhere. I was sitting there thinking, my God, we have all these pressing issues on the agenda. We have all these big things hanging over our heads. We've got all kinds of areas of agreement and disagreement and controversy and turmoil. And we're sitting there having this kind of like halting, repressed, anal retentive discussion. And I couldn't figure it out. But it somehow, I mean, I certainly think we have to, I think we should continue doing it, because I think that separating that from the dinner is a good idea. But we have to find some way to have some larger prior engagement or something, or maybe we should get a professional facilitator to come in and tell us, you know, we have to wear funny party hats, or I don't know what, but we have to find some way to make the format more congenial to people kind of relaxing a little bit and speaking more freely and openly, because it just, I just really felt like it wasn't working.
Thanks. Andre?
Bill already said everything. I said, yeah, my idea was just to have a moderator, probably just, you know, to give it like kind of show, to push people to speak, because it was like sleepy.
Adrian?
Just on the laptop thing, I nearly forgot it, really. The idea that we did that was, when I speak at the public forum, it drives me mad that all the board members sit up there and are typing away, just as I do when I'm on the council up there, but and not listening, and I could talk about watermelons and they wouldn't care. And in fact, I might do that today. So I suggested that the registrars, when they come in, we're all going to shut our laptops, even the audience. Every registrar, well, because we were, the way we were seated in the room at the XCOM and then all the registrars, and we said, well, all the registrars in the audience, we're all going to close our laptops for the hour. And we're going to pay full attention to the board, and we're going to give them. And Bruce opened up his laptop, but Rita gave us full attention, and I think really it had a big impact to sit there and say, well, we are watching and we are listening. It may be something you want to consider. It just sent a really cool message, I thought, that just said we're fair dinkum about this. And what I would like to gauge is, and what it sounds like, you know, from others, is that are they fair dinkum, or are they just going through the motions coming in here?
Okay, thanks. Before we move on to the next topic, Chuck, you wanted to say something.
Sure. Well, this isn't my main point, but I continue to be impressed at how constructive these wrap-up sessions are. Maybe it's because we're all relaxing a little bit and so forth, but this is great. I wanted to go back to the public council meeting. And if you're okay with this, Stefan, we have several people here as observers here today that were in the public council meeting. I'm curious if any of them, just in very brief, maybe 1-minute statements, would
would tell us how they perceived that meeting yesterday. You know, we tried to make some changes in it to make it a little more palatable for them and useful for them. And if any of them would share their thoughts, that would probably be good feedback for us as we consider changes in the future.
Thanks, Chuck. Amber.
Oh. So this is Amber Sterling, and since you asked, it was rather painful to watch, and I imagine it's probably even more painful to participate in the sense that with all of the amendments being read and all the whereases and the resolves, I really couldn't track what the motion was actually saying, and I am very impressed with you guys being able to actually follow that, because it was very hard to connect those dots.
Thanks, Amber. I don't know where you got the impression we were able to follow it, but Keith, you're being called to the mic.
Okay, thank you. I actually thought that some of the back and forth in the debate that was going on during the meeting wasn't all bad. I think it actually showed that that there was, you know, the ability of the councilors to engage with one another, and that we don't always agree, that you don't always agree on issues, and that there's sort of a healthy, lively debate. I think that there's a limit, though, to where that, you know, sort of crosses into, oh, boy, man, what, you know, couldn't they have gotten some of this resolved beforehand? But I wouldn't suggest that, you know, having that debate and that back and forth was necessarily a bad thing or inherently a bad thing. So that's sort of my thought.
Thanks a lot. Okay, let's move on if we want to make that deadline. I just want to take two more items, agenda items, then. Sorry. Can I? We'll never.
I would suggest that instead of reading the motions, whoever it is that is moving, is introducing the motion, has to instead give like a two-sentence summary of what the motion's intended to do.
And they're going to write that? You want them to write a summary in?
If you've introduced the motion, presumably you have its stated purpose well in mind.
Thanks. Okay, Jamie.
And my observation goes in the line that the apparent confusion we had is a kind of transparency.
Thanks, Jamie. Chuck.
A practical suggestion. And we only did this, I think, once, maybe twice yesterday. The voice vote is so much quicker than the other. But you can do that and still get a record. You don't have to have a roll call vote to get a record. The way I like to do voice votes, and you saw how I did it yesterday, was have people identify themselves if they're opposed or if they abstain, and you save 10 minutes on every motion if you do that.
Thanks, Chuck. Keith.
So, thank you, Stefan. Just one other point about the comment of, you know, sort of modeling that session similar to how the board does. In other words, the board makes their decisions prior, and then they basically just come to the public forum and you know, tell people what they're doing, or go into their public board meeting and then just sort of read the decisions. That's been a frustration for me for years. You know, in terms of their decision making process and debate sort of happening behind closed doors. So I would caution the GNSO Council to sort of not take that model or follow that model too strictly or too closely. But if the debate in the GNSO Council or among the GNSO Council happens prior, but also in a public forum, in other words, if the meeting is public and that debate happens prior, then my concerns are less. You know, I would be more concerned like if it was as if the board were doing it, sort of having that debate behind closed doors. I would not support that.
Thanks, Keith. Okay, let's move on to this is something that we have to look at, just the meetings, the agenda going forward. I think Glenn has already sent a proposal to the list, so part of the questions that are asked in the agenda are already moot. We're still on a three-week system, once every 3 week. I would ask you to identify any clashes that you may have going forward. You know, we have a requirement to post our meeting schedules for the year in advance. So this is something that we need to do now. And I had a suggestion, which was there's a meeting scheduled in the middle of August, which is like a sacred month in France. There's absolutely no way anyone can work in France in August. So I was going to suggest that we skip that one and just for that time have a six-week break, and I'm sure all of you would be happy to do that. Jeff, Tim, what? Tim, you want to pick a month. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Actually, I was just going to mention that it seemed to me on the list that January 6th was looking pretty bad, so I don't know if that's something we want to try to resolve quicker, sooner than later, or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Glenn was able to speak to that because she's looked at that.
Stefan, yes, thank you. It does seem as though January the 6th, at least five people have told me that they won't be there for that meeting. Six, okay. And would January the 13th be very conflictual for anybody? Can you think quickly? If not, it would be so much easier to... Adrian? Oh, okay. So it would be so much easier to be able to say today that our next meeting is on January the 13th rather than send round doodles and, you know, waste another 2 weeks on this.
Is that okay for everyone? Everyone okay with the voice vote? Okay, Jeff.
No, I think that that was just, I was just going to say the January 6th, and on the voice votes, I only asked for one that on important issues, I think certain votes should be taken by voice, just to make a point. And I thought the one that I'd asked might have been an important one.
Sorry if my joke offended you. Wolf.
Yes, with regards to the meeting plan, so I like all to have a list just to know where the meetings are. But in addition, wouldn't it be possible for those who are preparing the meeting plan and the meetings, maybe the chair and vice chairs, could also outline in advance, so sometime ahead, what could be of interest at that time for the meeting? You know, we are deferring a lot of tasks and shifting it from one meeting to the other, just knowing that we cannot cope with at the next meeting and end it up with that. For example, talking about the PDP working team outcome also, maybe in correlation with communication with Jeff, you can get a deadline for that or an idea, and then just add it to that to that meeting plan, so that we have a rough idea over the year what could be dealt with at certain meetings.
Right. Any further? Anything further on this? One.
Stefan?
Oh, sorry, Rafiq.
Okay, it's maybe for a date in. I think Geneso Council teleconference in the 1st September maybe can not easy because it should be on that day a Muslim religious celebration, and I think that we are diverse in the council, and maybe to change the date of that conf call.
That's very useful, Rafiq. Thanks very much for that. Glenn has taken that on board. So we will, Glenn will send a revised proposal to the list, and we'll take it from there. Jamie?
I would like just to pass through the dates, because that will remain here instead of deferring it to a list. Just pass through the dates that will remain. Can we?
We can, but may I suggest doing it this way? May I suggest that we just work through the rest as very short items that I wanted to cover, because I want to let those people go that need to go at 5:30 and then come back to this just after that, and I agree with the suggestion. So, one thing that's important is that we need a volunteer to work with Glenn on drafting our next ICANN meeting agenda. As you know, I've been doing that for the last year with Glenn. Olga has volunteered. Thank you very much, Olga. Thanks, Adrian. Thanks very much, Olga, for doing that. So that's solved. And just one thing that I wanted to maybe address is just to give Jeff a chance to respond to some of the comments on the possible or not conflict of interest, him being chair of the PBSC and voting on that yesterday. Jeff.
Sure. And I don't know if the complaint was being the chair of the PPSC and the PDP work team, or one or both of them. I don't know exactly what the complaint was, but someone had raised on the list that serving on as a chair of a working group and also serving on the council was an inherent conflict of interest, and was suggested that not only voting on that would have been a conflict, but even discussing the issue at all. I don't agree with that. I think that would be a first, since there's a bunch of precedent, even in the recent history of Olga had chairs the travel group and the constituency ops group. Alan chairs the Pedner group, even though he doesn't have a vote, but he still participates in the discussion on the council. Aubrey, when she was on the council, headed up part of the Fast Flux group for a while, and a number of people had chairs of new TLD group. So I think the complaint is it's odd that it was just directed towards me. But that said, if the council does believe that there's an issue, I have already said on the list that I would absolutely step down as a chair of either or both of those groups. I think that's fine. I think that might hamper the work a little bit and may delay things. So I think it's kind of odd to say I want you to go quicker, but then I want to get rid of the chair. I don't think that would happen. So if anyone has an issue with it, just let me know. I could use some more free time anyway. So if you want me to step down, that's fine. But I don't see an issue. I checked with ICANN staff. They responded that there was no bylaw or anything that would require that. I think that would be a step away from the way we've done things in the past, and would certainly be... Well, anyway, I think that's all I'll say. So if people feel strongly one way or the other, just let me know.
Any comments on this now? Jamie?
Quite on the contrary, I think that Jeff's input to the council were valuable for me to decide, at least in our informal meeting on Saturday. I made my decision based on his input.
If it's not inconsistent with general practice and so on, then it is not problematic from that standpoint. On the other hand, I would have to say, Jeff, you were hardly a neutral force with regard to this discussion. Just to recognize that, right? I mean, you had a strong position about how we should treat that issue, and you were in both positions. So. I think I can understand how the perception of the person who raised the concern was formulated. That's all. I don't think it's completely crazy.
Jeff, I'll come back to you, because Alan, Chuck, and then Tim.
Given the amount of time we spend agonizing about how hard it is to get volunteers to actually commit and do work, tossing them away, I don't think is a wise thing to do.
Thank you very much. Chuck.
Sure. If any of you saw the discussion, you'll note that my name was mentioned. When I was elected chair, emphasis on chair, it was suggested that it would be better if I wasn't chairing the OSC, which I had been. But that is not the case here. I was chairing the OSC when I was vice chair and when I was on the council. Okay, so it wasn't so much the fact that I was on the council or was vice chair, but as chair, it was suggested that it might be better if I resign. Of course, that's why Philip is chair now.
Thanks, Chuck. Tim.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to make it very, very difficult to find counselors. If counselors, you know, can't chair, and they must be neutral on the council, or if counselors become liaisons, I guess now they'll be neutral as liaisons. So if we keep pushing this way, none of us are going to want to be counselors, because we're going to find it too important to be able to participate in these working groups and have something to say, and then later have it restrict our ability to vote or to have an opinion on the council. So I think we need to be very careful about how far we take that, and I personally see no problem with Jeff maintaining his chair of the PPSC.
Thanks, Tim. Jeff?
Yeah, where's the requirement that a counselor needs to be neutral on anything? Is anyone here neutral on anything? When I am the chair of the PDP work team and the PPSC, I will challenge anyone here or anyone out in the community to come up with an instance where I have not been neutral in serving as the chair of that group. And what I did yesterday was, I think, act like a chair of the group in defending my group that was being attacked. And that was the timeline. If I didn't do it, who would have? So absolutely, I was not neutral in no way, shape, or form. My vote was actually the vote of the registry stakeholder group and not my own personal vote, although it's obviously, in this case, would have been the same. So if anyone accuses me of not being neutral on the council, 100% absolutely correct. I defended my team, and I gave you the timelines honestly, and when I saw a motion that was to try to limit me to a date that I knew the team could not meet, and I had presented over the weekend, including the person that complained, not one person said we had to take something out or your dates are absolutely wrong. So yes, absolutely, was not neutral.
Thanks, Jeff, for some important points there. The only requirement that I know of for someone to be neutral is the chair, actually. Bill.
I don't think we need to debate this much more. Nobody was suggesting that, I haven't heard anybody here suggest that there was a problem in terms of the dual position, so we don't need to speculate about what's going too far or not. The only point I would make, Jeff, is that even the way you're framing this right now, that the group was being attacked is part of what we're talking about, perceptions here, okay? I don't believe that Mary's motion was attacking your group. And I think that people had a running conversation for a while about what is the best way of organizing a set of activities, and some people were coming to a certain view, and so there was a motion about that, and I would have thought that we could discuss that, the merits of it, in a kind of straightforward way, and you seem to take it as a personal affront. And so that's where, you know, that's where the perceptual thing comes in. When people are playing both roles, then that kind of thing can arise. That's all. It's not a big deal. We don't have to debate it at length. I'm just saying it's how the dynamic went. The conversation was not a kind of mellow, well, cost-benefit analysis. Let's have a rational discussion about what's the best way to do this. It quickly locked into a kind of framework, which seemed kind of inappropriate to what we were actually discussing. I didn't think anybody was trying to off anybody's head or anything like that, so it didn't seem like it required that level of intensity and reaction to me.
Thanks. Alan, can you wrap this up?
Yes, I'll try. What I saw Jeff doing yesterday was trying to avoid spending time passing a resolution, knowing we would have to spend another 20 minutes in January or February or something changing it again. And he was trying to save council time from doing something completely redundant. That's all I saw.
Thanks, Alan. I think, Jeff, the message that I've heard from council is very clear, that no one expects you to not be in the position that you're in right now. I hope that's helpful to you, and the final decision is yours, obviously. I'll close it off here. Let people go off if they want. Those people that want to stay with us and go through the agenda, please do so. I just want to thank you all for what's been a very enjoyable week, very productive. Have a have a nice weekend if you're staying on, safe travels if you're flying back. I also want to thank staff for their constant invaluable help, Margie, Liz, Marika, and of course Glenn. I want to wish you all the best holiday possible as we go into the new year, and I also want to just once again give Chuck a little wink and a round of applause, because once again this is his last meeting. Sorry, his last meeting as GNSO councillor. But is there a life after that?
Yes, there really will be.
Do we want to, Liz? Hello.
I'm sorry, this is really sort of any other business thing. We can talk about it at the next council meeting, but I want to make sure that everyone is paying attention to this process for taking SO and SG and big capital C input on the 2012 budget, because even though traditionally that's something that the stakeholder groups and constituencies weigh in on individually in terms of what their stakeholder group needs are, I believe there may also be interest in the council in considering what council needs above and beyond what's been done before might be requested or required. And I'm thinking of things like if there is a need for face-to-face meetings in other working groups, or, you know, for who has studies, or for anything else that your stakeholder groups and constituencies may not be identifying themselves. I'm just really concerned about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz. Chuck, you have a follow-up.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. And I want to encourage everybody in your stakeholder groups and constituencies to look at the budget for fiscal year 12 in light of the GNSO improvements, too. You know, they weren't able, because of budget restrictions, to implement all of the, for example, the toolkit of services. And we don't all have the same needs with regard to our stakeholder groups and constituencies. Look at that and provide some input. I know we're going to do that in the registry stakeholder group because, you know, budget limitations restricted what they could do. At the same time, most of us, I think, have been hoping to have some of those services available to help us function more efficiently in our groups. And so that's a very important area of the budget to take a look at.
Thanks. And just one final comment. I wanted to also thank Terry and Rafiq for taking the for making the effort of participating remotely, sometimes at inconvenient hours for them. Thanks to you all. This meeting is adjourned, and see you all next time.
Goodbye, all. Hope to see you in San Francisco. This is Terry.
Bye, Terry. Bye. Thanks. Bye, Rafiq.
Will we maintain the 27th January meeting, having moved the 13th? Aren't they too close? We move to the 13th, then there is another one in the 27th, so...